Before we get into today's episode, we just wanted to give you a quick trigger warning. We'll be covering topics of abuse, postnatal depression, and abortion. Welcome to this week's episode of It's a Definite Maybe, a podcast for those of you who are just trying to figure it all out, with your favorite co-hosts, as always, Rosie and Stella. On today's episode, we are joined yet again by the fabulous Chi and Shani for part two of our catch up with these two powerhouse ladies. If you haven't already, pause this and make sure you listen to last week's episode first. All things on FemCon, how they met as friends, and what it's like going into business together. Ladies, welcome back. Even though in recording land, we are doing this 10 minutes after the first episode.
Yay! Hi! Thank you for having us back.
We are so excited to have you both. And for those that maybe haven't caught up on socials, haven't caught up on episode one yet, give us a quick spiel on who you guys are and what you're all about.
Okay, I am Chiquita Searle. I am a co-founder of FemCon, which I've co-founded with Shani, and I have a PR business, which is Chiquita & Co. Public Relations, and an eyewear business, Chiquita Eyewear.
I love that.
That was so nice.
Oh, thank you. Hey, guys. Welcome. Welcome back. I don't know how to, but my name's Shani. I'm the co-founder of FemCon alongside Chiquita, but I also do some curve modeling, influencing, and a bunch of other stuff on the side. I'm also a solo mama, so doing all things in the mix.
I love it. That is honestly the perfect segue. I couldn't have written this better than myself to get into what we want to sort of dive into today. So in episode one, we covered a little bit about FemCon and the events that you guys are doing and sort of how that all started. But what we really want to dive into today's episode is some of the stuff that you maybe don't agree on. So when we first did our vibe check and we first caught up, there are a few points where you guys, like, obviously really great friends, but there's some things you maybe don't see eye to eye on. And the first one, I think, is kids and relationships and marriage. You obviously have both very different experiences with that. So if that's okay, let's dive into it.
Oh my God. Okay. Yes.
Well, my views on motherhood are a little bit different from Shani's. Totally. Obviously, I have no children, nor do I intend to have any. And I basically think motherhood is a trap. So, and I think that all the risk of being a parent is with the mother. And I just think I've never had that deep yearning maternal urge to procreate or ruin my vagina. So, you know, I just think that, you know, all the risk is with us. We're the ones that have to put our career on hold or our business on hold. We have to actually, you know, incubate said fetus. We have to, bear the brunt of the labor and the aftermath of the labor. I don't think that people are very open about, and Shani can talk about this, her own birth situation, which is literally all the contraception I'll ever need. It's, you know, just the aftermath of birth, the raising of the children, you know, the postnatal depression, the fact that you have no income, you're relying on your partner, you've got no superannuation. I just think there's literally no upside to being a parent.
And I'm the opposite, although I was similar, and there's a lot in there that honestly I didn't even think about. Like, I just remember having a stack of cash. I'd been stripping for 6 years and I fell pregnant, and I was like, this was with my husband, and I was like, well, there's no other time better to have a baby than when we have a chunk of money. We'll probably never have this much money again. Mm-hmm. Why not? We were doing really well. But the other thing is true, and I can say, honestly, if I'm always like, if my child wasn't my child, her name is Angel, but if she wasn't the angel that she was, I actually think that I would really struggle, because I see lots of mums with these really, chaotic, they're just being kids.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but my daughter wasn't that, and that is not me. You know, everyone wants to think their child is special, and everyone's child is special. It's a really touchy subject. But I suffered so badly with postnatal. I don't think that if she was like this screaming, like really chaotic babe, I would have really struggled. But there's also things I didn't think about. I was 22. I just got married. I'd just fallen pregnant. And also the other thing too for me is we kind of say like angel's a miracle baby. I'd been through chemo for probably almost 12 months before being pregnant. But a part of through my chemo, they said to me like, you'll never fall pregnant. You'll never have babies. And I just remember that moment.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was sitting in the hospital. I remember that moment like being life changing. And I grew up with a foster sister and her sister had come in with her daughter, which was just a tiny little cute toddler at the time. And she sat on the end of the bed and she said to me like, Ani Shani, what's wrong? And I just looked at her and I just remember thinking, I'll never be able to have that version of you. So when I fell pregnant, I wasn't. It was really hard. So when I fell pregnant, I was just like, okay, this is it. Like, it was never going to happen, but it's happened. And then, you know, you do the whole miracle baby thing, and I think that that sort of happened. But I'm also with Chi sometimes where I'm like, I do think that for women, you know, it can be a trap. It is like, you know, you're stuck with – I've been in those situations too where I've had no money. I've been stuck in a marriage which has been really violent sometimes and both emotionally and physically abusive. There's a lot in it. But I also say all the time that if all of that stuff hadn't happened through becoming a mum, there is no way I would be the confident, fearless that I am. And when I say fearless, I mean fucking fearless. There is nothing that I'm afraid of. And I say that like hand on
yes,
top. Yes. That would have never happened if this stuff didn't happen. So I think that what I've learned until you become a mum, you can't quite grasp that. But I also do understand this point of view as well. And I think that if I knew the stuff I knew that she knows at this age, back when I was 23, I also would have been like, you know, all for it. I'd had an abortion before. I'd had an abortion when I was 19 with my high school boyfriend. And so, and then I was like, literally, abortion. I was like, done. I was out. I was like, exit left. Like, I couldn't get out of there quick enough. And that was a really horrible time for me.
Yeah.
He was just like, kind of like, oh, hey, we were super in love. And he was like, I've left $300 in the mailbox for an abortion. Come and pick this up. So I balanced all of, and I literally didn't have a license then either. Like, I jumped on a train and I was like, stopped on that.
Oh my God.
Picked up that money, went straight to Melbourne and had that done.
Holy shit.
It was a wild time. So there's lots. I totally understand, you know, and I see the different points of view, but I also know that who I am and my fearlessness and also the way that I suffer so deeply with my depression has motherhood has changed that for me in a way that I truly believe I might not have been able to met that version of myself until much later on in my life, whereas I feel like I've fast-tracked that and, you know, so there's some beauty in it, but I definitely get what she says, yeah. And also, I always, like, today I messaged her and I was like, please, God, let this be the last fucking school tour that I go on for prep because I can't handle these bitches. But I also have no mum friends and I don't want to be in that. And there's nothing wrong with having, you know, great mum friends, but it's just not, I don't find myself comfortable in those situations. I always find myself that mum at the park that's like, well, I literally get all the time, oh, are you her nanny? Are you her sister? So I get that all the time because I can't quite grasp the whole motherhood, mummy part. I'm a great mum. I possibly, you know, pop myself up a bit and say I'm the best mum I know, but I'm not doing motherhood the way that it's known. And I also am very okay with that now. And I talk to Chi about that all the time. And she's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Need those bitches anyway. You know, it's insane. They're just regular women doing the regular mum thing. But I just don't fit into that realm, whatever it is. I find myself very uncomfortable with it. Because you think that you're losing a part of your identity. If I become this daggy mum that we all, you know, make fun of and say mum bod and all those things, then I become like them. And honestly, I don't want to be them. But also, I want any woman to be them. I want every woman that's a mother to remember who they are. So it's no thing against this group of mums or that group of mums. I've honestly never had a mum friend. I wouldn't know what it's like. But I can just, when I've been in those situations of feeling judged, it's made me run for the hills and be like, hey, girl, I'm coming over. I can't deal with this. So, yeah, that was a very long spiel, but yeah.
I love that. And I think it's really cool to see that you guys – can have like two different views of motherhood, and Stella and I are kind of similar. Like, I'm I'm on the, you know, still kind of on the fence about kids, and I don't get as excited about the idea of it. And Stella is pretty excited about wanting to be a mom. But I think it's really nice as well that you can still agree on some parts, being like, yeah, they can probably be annoying or like cause you lack of sleep or for some reason just be sticky and covered in stuff. And it's just like, what? Or like the challenges of actually like, you know, your body changes or postnatal depression or having to take time off work and raise a child and like pay for that and support yourself. Like it's really cool to see like those overlaps.
I remember one morning we were on a walk and Chiquita was like, I don't know, you're gonna kill me for saying this, but we were walking, she was like, you know what, I think I want to have a son or something like that. I don't know if you remember. And I just remember thinking, what the fuck, one, oh my god, I need to look after this woman and child. Two, I think for me, that, oh my god, I want to be a mum one day. I watch my mum struggle. I watch all the women before my mum struggle that were mums, and I mean like to the darkest of places in terms of sexual abuse, you know, physical abuse, all kinds of like domestic violence. So it never, there was nothing beautiful about it until it happened to me and I could see the beauty in it. But otherwise, I would still very much be over here going, that is something I will fucking do. And I also didn't think that I could trust myself with another living thing. Like, what? Like, I have to make sure you're alive every day. Okay.
Like, how do you raise a child?
Like, you, yeah. The other thing is, I've set myself free when I moved away from, like, I have to be a certain way. When I just started doing it my way and I was like, you know what, fuck it. Like, I can just be – but that also comes through the relationships that I have with the women around me. My mum is not a mummy mum and she knows it. She's always – we didn't become super close until I was older. Chiquita, she doesn't have she doesn't have friends. She doesn't have kids. She has lots of friends. But and her baby, they're her babies. So I think it just is anything that you love that you can kind of, you know, I don't know. We find ways. Like, I could never have four cats, but I totally get it because she loves her four cats. So it's one of those.
Well, they're asleep for the end of the day. Four cats over one child any day of the week.
No school tours.
Oh my god, I'm honestly done.
And think
that's
kids,
today's wine. That's why it's going.
If I wanted a child, I would have done it years ago. Like, I just don't think that conventionally do anything. Yeah. I'm not a conventional person. So if I'd wanted a child, I would have done it years ago. And work myself. Yeah. And I think for me, one of the most liberating things that my parents actually said to me was, don't have children. And if we, and I mean, they love us, there's three of us, but they actually said if we had our time over again, we wouldn't have had you. We would have preferred to travel. We would have wanted to pursue
people.
And they didn't feel like they had the freedom to do that because they had three children and they had us really young.
And that's why I won't have another child.
Well, I just think it was liberating.
Maybe one day, but like right now I have had urges, weird urges, and I'm like, where does this come from? But then I remember that like you have to pay for that child to raise them. You have to make sure their mental health is good. There's all these things. And I'm like, I'm really confident at one. And that's all.
Well, my parents always just said, focus on your career. And they were very good with us with that. They made education a priority and they said, don't have children. Well, they said, you don't need to have children. They, you know, definitely. And my brother and I don't want children. My sister's got three kids and she had them really
totally
young. Really opposite. But I just think one of the best things as a parent you can do is actually free your children from the expectation that they should have children or they should follow the great Australian dream. I think that
the
great Australian dream is a bit of a trap. I think that we're conditioned to believe that we can't fully be happy until we have the white picket fence, the house, the husband, the kids,
It's not the case anymore.
There are just so many studies now that say that single childless women are actually the happiest demographic, and I can vouch for that.
Yeah. And that's not to say, like, for your listeners and our beautiful audience as well, because we have lots of mums, you know, that came to the event and whatnot. There's nothing – it's great. Like, if you love being a mum, and that's a great thing, like, good for you. Some people, you know, we go through school and some people go, I just want to be a parent. I just want to – and I genuinely love it, and they might not – and we get that this is a controversial topic for absolutely everyone, but there are parts of us that all understand – this perspective as well. And I would beg to differ with anybody that says, I would never think that way. Well, actually, we've all been there. I'm a mum and I've thought that way. And like I've said to you girls today, if Angel wasn't Angel and the little character that I know, I probably couldn't do it if she was some kind of chaotic child. I don't know what I would have done, but I know I'd be really struggling. Yeah, I would have managed.
Because you managed. As a parent, you managed.
I would have dropped her at your I mean, like,
I would have given
her
back.
Love you, Amy.
I would have locked you're the door. Up, girl.
But, yeah, like, it's not, you know, the whole Australian dream and, you know, I married into culture that was, like, get married, have kids. My husband was Hindu. Mm. So that was really heavy. Asian culture, too, he came from that background. Money and kids is all that matters and nothing else does. But I also came from a really chaotic background, childhood, where, like, we came from no money. We were actually super-duper poor. Like poor, even though we were living in Australia and growing up, you know, in a white Western culture, we still really struggled. So, you know, and I swore into that. So, well, everybody that's married and has kids has money and they do well and they have cars and homes, all the shit that my mum never had that was a, you know, single mum. So I think I also thought, actually, I don't know what I thought, probably not much, but I just know that I was, you know, young and wanted safety. Yeah,
and maybe you saw that in a marriage and in someone who could provide.
Totally.
Chi, you are currently single, dating, and Shani, well, you were married. So how did you guys find your views on, like, being single and marriage? Like, do they match up in terms of long-term stuff? Is that another area where you're, like, completely opposite ends of the spectrum?
Okay, you go ahead, but I'm just going to say I think this is something we both – I often message her back to the messages that we talk about dating or relationships, or, and I'm always like, fuck that guy or fuck you, because I don't – I said today, do you think I should be more of that friend that's like, well, give it a go, give it a – but it's just never going to be me. But she's taught me all about it. She got me back in the game, so she's good at it.
I'm good at dating.
I think you are. I
love it.
I'm no, do you know dinner, why? Okay, let me just say on the podcast or off the podcast, wherever this ends up, Chiquita is where she at with her career, with who she is, with what she owns, with what she drives, with what she wears, with where she goes, and the friends she has, because she has two parents that told her to never settle for less, and she's actually listened to that advice, whereas I come from a place, and this is not a friendship comparison, but this is like never settle for less. So when my husband would do something fucked up, or a friend or whoever that was mistreating me, the first person I know that, like, I would hear some shit that I never want to hear, but I would get the answer I need, is from Chiquita, because she doesn't settle for less. So, yes, you are or aren't dating. I'm not sure what's going on right now. But there's this – Chiquita is the byproduct of if women didn't settle for whatever the fuck was just put in front of them because it was kind of okay, this is what she would be. And what you would be is a woman in her 40s that is super happy, drives the car that she wants, that goes to the gym, that gets her coffee, that has a wonderful day every day.
Fuck yes.
Sleeps in, maybe doesn't, watches Netflix. Like, whatever she does is not settling. So just putting it out there. So just FYI, don't settle.
Fuck yes.
Fuck yeah. Yes. Go queen. We love that.
You said that to me, so thank you. I'll need that as a soundbite as well. Yeah.
Putting that on a poster or a t-shirt or something.
Yeah, my parents are very good in that. They very much believed in us, and they always said, you know, you can be whatever you want, and they're very big on career. So I think, I've just always focused on my career more so than anything, and I've always said if I could – have a successful business over a successful relationship, I would choose it. Yeah. You know, I've always been very focused on that. And I think that is probably why I'm still single, because I haven't really prioritized relationships per se. And I do, and I think with dating, I think I've learned, because I am single, and I think what I have learned is that you've got to, I'm a big believer in ebbs and flows in life and in business, relationships, dating, everything. And I think when you can recognize you're in an ebb and be okay with that and sit in the discomfort of it and, you know, just accept that that's what it is and it will pass, you'll be okay. And I think a lot of people kind of fight the ebb, but I think if you can just accept the ebb, it's okay, and it passes more quickly, and then you'll go in, back into flow. And I think I love dating, you know, I really like meeting new men, and I don't know if I can say this, but one of my things to do is go out and get drunk with a random man.
And well, see, it's fun. And see where the night takes us. Like, can we make that a bit? Like,
that's so good.
It's so fun. And everyone's like, Chiquita, don't sleep with them so quickly. But I'm like, you know what? I just think Mum actually always said to me, try before you buy. And Mum, if you're listening, I do.
Oh, you've got her.
Great advice. Great advice.
She's like, got to make sure it works, Chiquita. I'm like, yes, I do.
100%. 100%.
Fuck, that's so good.
So, yeah, so I just think that, I've got a bit of an unconventional mother, and I think and a very conventional father. So, you know, I've got the best of both worlds, and I'm a lot more like my mother than my father. And I just think that, you know, I just don't want subpar or mediocre anything. And so, and because I'm actually really comfortable being alone, I think that people confuse being alone versus being lonely.
Mm.
And I am very comfortable being alone, and that's why I don't settle.
Totally.
And I just have really strong boundaries when it comes to relationships, when it comes to dating, even friendships. You know, I'm very big on boundaries. And if people sort of cross those boundaries, you know, they don't really last that long, regardless of who you are. And, you know, I'm comfortable with that.
I love that. I think what is so, so powerful for me, I can't speak for Stella here, is it how sure of yourself you both are, at least the way that you guys can convey yourself so eloquently, can like describe both the good and the bad that you guys have been through. What I would love to ask, and this might be a not controversial, of just a fun, spicy question. You guys are obviously very similar, yet very different. So how would you describe each other?
No!
Oh, shit.
That's so fun.
Really, really different. Yin and yang. I mean, I couldn't imagine someone more different from me than Shani in terms of our upbringing, of our belief systems, everything. In terms of sometimes our values. And it's actually probably a little bit confusing as to why this dynamic works, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah. For me, I think sometimes you can just love someone and then you care about them and, you know, I think for me, loyalty, we've talked about this before, and I know for Chi, it's one of her highest values. And I think that's something that makes our relationship really special. And I know it's one of her highest values. I have major abandonment issues, and it starts from so super young, and I'm very aware of it. I'm not clingy as in, I need you. But if I can sense that someone's exiting, I will be out of there before they even got the chance. Like, I'm like, bye. So for me, Chiquita feels like, Chiquita feels like forever, and that's on a couple of things. For me, it is like... Aww. What are we 2 months later, we're just like, PEMCON's over. No. we are finding our way back. But I think that I need like I think it's a bit cliche, but like ride or die is definitely my thing. I literally would do anything and everything for the people I love. But it's changed now. I'm like, if they would do it back, I don't expect it back, but I need to know that there's some sense of
security. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chiquita is that friend that you would call and be like, I just killed blah, blah, blah. How do I get rid of like the body? You hear
we
that?
We need a van of ass. Oh my God.
We all need a friend like that.
For me, I think loyalty is really important, and maybe for me that this friendship could be based off that, but also because we are so different, we laugh a lot, we have lots of fun when we, you know, there's this really special thing here for me that, you know, and I like security. I like to feel like my people, I think we're also in a generation where everything's replaceable. Fuck it. Don't let anyone treat you this way or that way. But I'm actually like, hey, Chi, you did this. This hurt me. Or, you know, maybe I hurt you or whatever. Can you confront me about it when I do the wrong thing by you so I can be a better person and a better friend? Yes, it is hard to hear sometimes because I know when Chiquita's upset with me. It's very clear. But I know that.
ignore it. And sometimes I like buy into it. And I'm like, hey, girl. but also, she's good at being okay. She'll be like, when I can see that someone wants to do better, I also am like in it for the long haul. So I'm like, hey, this hurt me. Can we talk about it? But never ever now, maybe a little bit earlier, but when I message her, I'm like, hey, this kind of hurt me. I used to, like, you know, when you message that to a friend, you think it's over, it's done. Oh my God, she hates me. Like, whether that's high school stuff or whatever. But like, I think like, oh, we just need to catch up and we need to talk about it. And whatever it is, we could kind of like hash it out. And so it's kind of like that sister. Yeah, it's like it would. It's
that's amazing.
A sister I didn't maybe have. So yeah, it's really important to me.
Aw. That's so special.
Thank you. Oh, we're going to have to talk about feelings.
Yeah, we're massive advocates on the podcast of communication and openness and honesty. And so it's so nice to see that you guys, that seems to be a really core pillar of your friendship, and what makes it work so well is you just genuinely love each other and think so highly of each other, even though in so many ways you are so different.
Yeah, we're highly different. We are really highly different. But I think also one shared value, which I think is key, is empowerment of women. And I think we really shared that from the outset, because that's initially why I started, you know, my eyewear, and that's why I reached out to Shani for that initial collaboration. And Shani's taught me a lot about open communication. You know, I'm not the best communicator. I've been an advocate of the silent treatment in the past. I've realized that that's actually a red flag, and quite Instagram reels and TikToks telling me where I'm going wrong. So she's very empathetic. She's a lot of things that I'm not. She's taught me a lot about how to be in a really working, you know, effective working relationship, to be honest, because I don't, the culture I come from in my family is we would literally sever a limb before we talk about our feelings.
Yeah.
I mean, the culture in our family is just very much, if you have an issue, you just don't talk about it and you just stop talking, and we'll literally not talk for years until there's like a funeral or a wedding.
Yeah.
And so it's just not the done thing to express emotion in my family. And that's not that no one's a bad person. The culture and the dynamic, and that's, you know, every family has their level of dysfunction, and that's one of ours, and that's okay. But Shani's been very big on teaching me how to communicate effectively, be open, share my feelings, which is still quite difficult, because I can intellectualize things really well, but I don't feel them that well. I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm much more of a thinker than a feeler. But also, and so Shani's much more of a feeler than a thinker.
Yeah.
So I think a lot, she feels a lot. So
it's a nice balance when it's together.
Balance.
Yeah. So my feelings are, you know, I prefer not to talk about them at all, frankly. But sometimes I'd be like, I feel sad.
I remember when I recently
disappointed.
I recently came back from overseas and she messaged me and she was like telling me how I might be feeling. Are you feeling, mama? And I was like,
well, I was trying to be empathetic. I was like, if you had to choose two words about how you're feeling, what would they be?
And I was and she was like, not down and broken or whatever it was.
To be empathetic. I don't know how to be empathetic in a grieving situation. It's beyond me.
You're learning.
I am learning. I'm an evolving person.
And I'm all for it. I'm like, someone's evolving in front of me and I can see it, but they don't even want to say it or prove it to themselves. I'm like, that's probably how I was in my really fucked up marriage for a really long time. So I was like, I saw glimpses and then I didn't. And it's like, but I think that.
Whereas I'm literally like 1 week in, if someone hasn't messaged me in 2 days, I'm like, you're dead to me. I'm deleting all our messages and you're done.
Block.
Yeah, block. I know, block.
But we do. We live in this also, it's huge in our generation of like everything and everyone is replaceable. And I just don't, I mean, I think that's appropriate for some things, but not everything. And so it's really, you know, I love my people and I love hard on my people and they're important to me. And, you know, I'm not going to spend time with anyone that's not. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of navigating when you're so different from someone, when you have very different backgrounds and very different values and ways of communicating. There's a lot to navigate. So it's expedited our friendship and relationship, yeah. and we've had to kind of navigate certain areas to try and kind of remain connected, because there's obviously been scenarios through it that we felt a little bit disconnected, but we always sort of can traverse those and come back together. So I think that's a testament to, I guess, the foundation.
Yeah. You just don't give up. Like, for me, I'm like, I don't give up. So that's my thing, and it's sometimes it's people. Because you can just care about someone and love someone, and that's all. That's sometimes enough. It doesn't have to be all this complicated stuff. I don't know why I love you, but I do, and that's all. Like, I do, but like... Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, geez.
Starting World War III between you guys. Sorry.
There's a lot of, like, I think fun is also foundational for us. We had we've had fun from the start.
Mm.
It's not a serious relationship. It's like, it's quite fun.
Yeah. But we can also get shit done.
Yeah, together. We get shit done.
Yeah.
Oh, ladies, it has been so amazing getting to know you. To finish out our second part of this wonderful two-part series with you guys, we want to know, what are your top three recommendations at the moment? It could be books, TV shows, vibrators, you know, literally anything that you guys have been particularly loving at the moment. We want to hear about it.
I'll go podcasts, because I listen to a lot of podcasts and I love podcasts. So my favorite at the moment is Do You Fucking Mind? And I don't know, it's Alexis someone. I don't actually know her
name. So good.
Yeah, but I love her podcast. I've discovered her during lockdown, and I'm still making my way through all of hers. I love her black and white attitude, no muss, no fuss. She's take no prisoner. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love the Imperfects podcast. So it's Hugh Van Kylenberg, his brother Josh, and Ryan Sheldon. Mm-hmm. I love Ryan. And Hugh has the Resilience Project, and he's written two books, but the Resilience Project, I read it through lockdown, one of my favorite books ever. And then I think there's a second book, didn't love it as much, but love the podcast. And I also, I love Hamish and Andy. So those are my three that I listen to every single week.
They're so good.
Woody, I find Will so just much. A martyr.
Yes, our opposite. Oh my God, my recommendations. I don't know. Honestly, do you know what I'm currently watching? This is so random. Jonah Hill's documentary. I watched 5 minutes of that. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but of that last night.
No.
But he interviews his psych, and it's just so amazing. Like, oh my God, the way that he thinks and talks and
that's cool.
The relationship is amazing. So there's that. And then there's like 101 life essays. I don't know who it's by, but I've been loving that and reading that, because it's like really good, I think, for mums or just busy people or whatever, or people who can't, like, have a short attention span. It's just, I don't know if you guys have read that either, but it's just like sections, like little things that you can read.
I need to read it.
It's so good. It's so good. Definitely order. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm going to do this one for both of us. The Money Book. What's that? Oh, my God. That was so good.
Rich as Fuck.
Rich as Fuck. Yes.
Amanda Francis. Ooh. Rich as Fuck.
Very good. We love
Rich it. As a Fuck.
We need your book for very everyone.
Good book. Very good book. I've read it twice.
But, yeah, that's probably all I have in terms of recommendations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Good book.
Really good book.
Amazing.
Also FemCon.
Well,
FemCon events.
We will drop all of those in the show notes.
Thank you, lady.
Which is a perfect segue. So what is the next FemCon event that's coming up?
So we are doing a long lunch series, and our first one is coming up. It is called A Feminine Affair, Galentine's Day Edition. So you can either come by yourself or bring your bestie, but it's purely a day of, like, self-love, learning, you know, some self-pleasure tricks. We've got Bush there, a self-loving, I don't know, sex toy biz, which is really amazing. They're all about advocating for putting yourself first.
Sexual wellness.
Sexual wellness, yeah. And then, yeah, there's lots of stuff happening. Mm. Long lunch. There'll be some an opportunity to shop all of our beautiful boutique pop-ups. We've got some brand activations happening. We'll have a DJ. It's purely just like 5 hours of just hanging out with a bunch of, you know, maybe new friends, old friends, and getting to know the FemCon community, but also just making sure that, you know, Galentine's Day, it's right before Valentine's Day, and making sure no girl is alone, whether that's with someone or your vibrator.
They're definitely G-spot vibrator. And a date night box from Moments Condoms. So,
but yeah. Oh. So that's in February the 10th, next
from 12 to 5.
Amazing.
Beautiful. We will drop all of that and link to buy tickets in our show notes, of course, as well. And just to wrap up, where can all of our lovely listeners connect with you guys on socials, both individually and FemCon as well?
Yes, so you can find me at shani.chantel on Instagram and TikTok. I've been loving the TikToks lately. Yeah.
And FemCon at femcon.co and at Chiquita Searle.
Amazing. And while you are at it, lovely listeners, if you aren't already following us, make sure to also go follow us. We will put all of the details in the show notes so that you can go on a massive following spree.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we are excited to take you along next week with us as we discuss another topic that might not have a one-size-fits-all approach on It's a Definite Maybe. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.